Calling the meeting to order at 1:10. This is Barbara Mason. I represent the Boeing Company on the Orange County Development Board, and I chair this one-stop committee. And so with that, we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. Would anyone like to lead the pledge? All right, I will. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. To the Republic,
for which it stands.
One nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Thank you. Next is the board member roll call.
I'll go ahead and begin that. Please state that you're present. Natalie Alvarez. Rob Claudio.
Here.
Eric Gordorinis. Barbara Mason.
Present.
Gary Matkin. Michael Ruane. Brynielle Toomer-Bias.
Present.
Thank you, Brynielle. So at this point, with three members present, we do not have a quorum at this time.
Okay.
At this point, we'd like to invite any attendees, if they would like to speak during the public comment time, to go ahead and raise their hand. And I'll just state this one more time. If any of the attendees would like to speak at this time, they could go ahead and raise their hand. Okay, I don't see that we have any public comment at this time.
Okay, thank you, Adriana. Put the action items on hold. If we get it, we'll circle back. If not, we'll move those to the full board. Let's proceed with the information items, and number 7 on the agenda is program performance. It looks like there's 3 subgroups within that.
That is correct. Adriana, did you move that Lalek up to be able to present?
I can do that right now.
Thank you. And then do you mind putting up the performance report for America Works?
Okay.
So while she is promoting Zitlalik, I just want to share with this committee that Zitlalik is our grants and program administrator of our adult and dislocated worker program. So she is providing day-to-day oversight of performance and activities and fiscal oversight of the service provider's work. She is providing oversight just solely over the MCS contract. I am providing oversight of America Works, and two, we have our new grants and programs administrator hired. What does that mean?
Left voicemails, in the office, no answer.
Okay, so all the members that are not on this call right now, none of them were available by phone for my staff. I apologize for that interruption. Okay, so with that said, Zitlalik is going to give you the update for MCS. I'll provide the update for America Works.
You want America Works up first here?
Yes, please. Can you make this bigger so that they can see it? Is there any way for you to expand your box?
Let me see here.
No, right at the top where it has, yeah.
Is that helping?
Yeah, but can you go ahead and expand that box again?
I'm trying to. Yeah. I don't know that I have the right.
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, can everyone see this?
Yeah.
Okay. So, third quarter performance. As you know, America Works has a contract for $1,500,000. As of third quarter, the current contract expenditures, you'll see that they've submitted for third quarter up to $358,534.98. Their year-to-date expenditures is $754,555.21. They currently have $745,444.79 available. Now, the challenge for that is that that's quite a bit of money for a quarter. So keep in mind, we're at the third quarter mark. And so they only have one more quarter left. So it's realistic that they will be returning money back to us. The problem with them returning money back to us is that, as you know, any money that we don't spend, we have to return back to the state. And so we've had conversations with AmericaWorks about the spending level. Now, I do know that because we weren't able to open the South County location, that's part of the challenge with this contract, that we anticipated open the South County contract when we began. However, we've had some challenges with identifying the location and actually establishing it. So that's one of the reasons why the spending level is fairly low. I will say that AmericaWorks has made a lot of system updates in our one-stop center, meaning they've purchased new technology. So they're all brand new computers in the one-stop center. They have enhanced our internet service, and they are currently working on enhancing our telephone service in the one-stop center, as well as reconfiguring the space. So I do anticipate a little bit more spending to occur that third quarter, but I do not believe that it's going to be the full amount of the contract. So with that said, if you look at this, you'll see that they're spending about 91% of their contract is spent on direct program costs, and about 9% is on administrative costs. Please also keep in mind, in the AmericaWorks contract, they are hired to provide training as well as one-stop oversight. The reason why we hired them to provide training is so that all of our system partners can have access to any of the trainings available in the one-stop center. So in the past, when we set up the contracts to go direct to have the Title I career service provider provide training, they were only providing training to their clientele. By having the one-stop operator provide the training, all training is available to anyone in the one-stop system, whether they are a partner or someone walking in off the street. Our training should be available to anyone accessing our system, whether or not they qualify for WIOA.
Go into the center to get the training, or can they do it online?
That's a good question. It's available both ways. So they are required to provide training face-to-face as well as virtually.
Okay.
So we have been working with them to identify training, and we're working with them with partners so that we can have partners kind of speak up and share what they'd like to see in terms of trainings made available to their clientele. We are also contracting with a third party provider to create soft skills training for our programs. We hope to have that roll out at the end of this month. In addition to that, we also are going to be introducing ACT work keys, being available to not just the system partners, but to the community. So we believe that that would also be an enhancement to our service delivery, but also a resource that the community can and will use. So I'm going to move into the performance part.
So, Karma, yes. Is there any way, is there any reason, or are you just not allowed to roll over into the new fiscal year any of the unused funds, considering that you may then be having to open the South County location, and you had the issue of the pandemic that you were contending with over the course of the year?
So that's a great question. Rob, keep in mind, the county has this first in, first out system. And so the money wasn't necessarily fiscal year 21-22 money. It may have been an older pot, like a pot of funding that is going to expire. Does that make sense? So yes and no. So it's possible. I haven't looked into it, but in my head, it's probably some of that first in, first out funding, which is why I have the concern that we may lose it.
Okay.
So to performance. So for this contract period, there were 24 first-time visitors that entered into the one-stop system. Now, keep in mind, AmericaWorks has been providing services, or not services, well, yes, opening the doors for the one-stop center by appointment only, because as you know, with the pandemic, we had we had limitations on how many people could actually be in the facilities at any given time. So they've offered they're offering our program services, and they've maintained the position of staying open. However, it's by appointment only. So based on this quarterly report, the first time visitors for quarter three is 24. Virtual trainings, they've offered 415 clients access to their virtual training. And they've offered 201 participants access to on-site training. So year to date, they have 116 first-time visitors. They have 1,028 virtual trainings, or individuals who receive virtual trainings. And then they have 220 participants that have had on-site training available to them. Are there any questions or concerns about that performance or information? Okay. Now, this report will be extended as we start opening up other facilities, for example, like Theo Lacey and some of the other sites. As we start opening up and expanding service delivery, we will include those other locations in our report out. So given that June 15th, we anticipate the state opening back up, we'll expand this to support what's happening in the other facilities, as well as the mobile unit. And so this is what I have to report out for third quarter for America Works. Are there any questions or concerns? Okay, I just want to highlight that Natalie has just joined us. Adriana?
Yes, Natalie, if you could please unmute yourself and note that you're present.
I am present. My apologies for being late. I didn't want to interrupt.
Thank you. So we do now have a quorum.
Thank you. Okay.
Just a question. I think I misunderstood. You said they were behind on the spending because the facility wasn't open, yet people could take training and not have to be there. Is it the facility needs to kick off the training or what? How's that work? That people could have done the training outside the facility.
No. So when I talk about why they're spending as well, it's because when we contracted with them, remember we used to have the Irvine One Stop Center, and we thought that we were going to have a South County location open up, and so some of their contract would go just towards rent and setting up that location. But right. Unfortunately, we've had some challenges, and we weren't able to open up the South County location as quickly as we thought we would. So that's what I'm talking about in terms of their spending level being a lower than we anticipated.
Okay. Got it. Thank you for the clarification.
Are there any other questions or concerns before we move on? Okay, so we're gonna go ahead and move on to the MCS performance, and I'm gonna let Zitlalik take over.
Good afternoon to all of you. As Karma said, my name is Zitlalik Damon, and I am the Grants and Programs Administrator, and I provide oversight over our contract with Managed Career Solutions. Who provide WIOA Title I career services to our adult and dislocated worker populations. I am going to start off with the Adult North report, performance report. MCS was awarded $5 million for this program year, July 1st through June 30th. And of those $5 million, $1.2 million is allocated towards the Adult North program. In the yellow, you will see the numbers which highlight performance for quarter three. So I'm going to review fiscal activities first. In quarter three, direct program costs were $134,234.54. Administrative costs were $13,423. Supportive services, $3,598. And supportive services are those services provided directly to participants to help them with any support that they need, such as clothing, utilities, things of that sort. And individual training accounts was $4,827.50 for a total amount of $156.83.62. On the column over to the right, you'll see the year-to-date expenditures. And at the last column, you'll see what the percentage of their expenditures are. So thus far, year to date, they've expended 42% of the $1.2 million. With most of the costs going to direct program costs. For year-to-date expenditures, I'll review those really quickly. Year-to-date for direct program, $438,729. Administrative costs, $43,872.84. Supportive services year-to-date, $5,222.14. And individual training accounts, $12,826.50. As you can see, there's no expenses yet for on-the-job training. And then their total year-to-date expenditure is $500,650.96. So they also do have quite a bit of a balance left for quarter four. So we do expect repayment back to the County of Orange. In regards to their performance, once again, the yellow highlighted portion is for quarter three. In quarter three, we had 76 new enrollments in year-to-date, 197. They are contracted or were contracted to enroll 400 participants during this program year. As of quarter three, they have 25 carry-ins. So as of July 1st, they had 124 participants that they carried in from last program year. Of those 124, they have 25 active participants left. Target population, we have of those 76 new enrollments in quarter three, 195 barriers were identified. So it could have been that multiple participants had multiple barriers, such as homelessness, such as maybe they have a criminal record. We have a list of different types of barriers that can be identified, and 195 of those were a part of that 76 new enrollments. We had one employment placement. Median earnings for quarter three was $6,592.07. Three participants attained a degree or certificate. We had some numeracy gains and program skills gains, which were five participants. Retention with the same employer, seven, and 34 co-enrollment into WIOA services. So they're enrolled in not just in our program, they could be enrolled in other programs as well. And in quarter three, we exited 10 participants. Year to date, we've had 197 enrollments. Year to date target population, 537 barriers have been identified within the 197 people that we've been servicing, 21 employment placements, 11 degrees attained, 56 literacy numeracy gain, retention with the same employer, seven, co-enrollment 98, and 59 program exits. So you will probably notice that our performance is not great. It is not meeting, they're not meeting their contracted goals, and that's for various reasons. In addition to the performance, we also were able to work with MCS to get information on how quickly participants are being serviced and how quickly they are participating in a training or their first service or workshop. And so you can see that in the program participation chart. So, and Adriana, can you scroll down a little bit? So that's the second chart right here at the bottom. In quarter three, 19 participants were able to participate in their first class or workshop or training within the first week of program enrollment. 2 to 4 weeks, 28 participants, two participants. It took them between 1 and 2 months of program enrollment to participate in an activity. And we have 30 who it took more than 2 months. And 79 of them are not yet engaged in a service. And that's for quarter three. Year to date, you'll see the numbers in the year to date column, 39 within 1 week of program enrollment, 72 between 2 and 4 weeks, 44 between 1 and 2 months, between 1 and 2 months, 35 more than 2 months, and then 196 not yet engaged in a service.
Why? What are the reasons why they're not engaged? Have they not reached out, or?
Barbara, can we let them speak? I apologize, I meant to say this early on. We have invited them to this meeting so that they can speak up for their performance. And I apologize, okay. Also invited AmericaWorks. So if you do have questions for AmericaWorks, they're on the line as well.
I'll go ahead and start moving
can you move up Gloria so they can provide feedback?
Gloria Gaetan and
yes.
Any other personnel, Karma?
No, just Gloria.
Okay, Gloria, you should be able to speak now. You can unmute yourself.
Got it. Okay. I'm sorry. What was the question again?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to throw us out of cycle. It's just when you hear those figures, when we hear like 79 have not been engaged in service yet, it would be helpful to understand the context of that. Is it that they haven't reached out for service or we haven't been able to connect with them? How is it we have a figure like that that have not engaged in service?
Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Dina. I'm one of the career services supervisors here with the One Stop. And I'll go ahead and answer your question. As far as the 79 who have not yet engaged in a service, we were informed to calculate that service activity as to not include their IEP or the initial assessment that we conduct with the client. So while the client comes in and enrolls, they are scheduled for an IEP meeting and they are getting that counseling from the case manager to develop what their program activities are going to be. So the 79 could be clients that either haven't followed through yet on that plan to complete those activities, or it could also be clients that came in for just for our COVID grant supportive services. And in that case, they were here just to receive that supportive service funding and not participate in career services.
That's not true, Dina. So in order for you to receive that supportive service payment, you had to be a WIOA participant. So the expectation is still for them to participate in WIOA.
And they are enrolling in WIOA and we are offering participation, but it was explained to us at the beginning that we just needed to offer initial assessment and basic career service activities.
Barbara, perhaps maybe we need to go through the rest of the performance because I think you're going to have a question.
Yeah, I appreciate the clarification and probably with the additional presenters, any large numbers like that that say no service, maybe you can build that into your remarks.
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and continue with our Adult South performance report. MCS was awarded 1.2 million of the 5 million to, or 1.2 million of the 5 million is allotted to Adult South. And review our fiscal activities first. Quarter three, direct program costs $103,269.91. Administrative costs were $10,326. Supportive services, $2,512.58. Individual training accounts, $10,125. And no quarter three costs for on-the-job training for a total of $126,234.48 for quarter three. Year-to-date expenditures for direct program costs, $258,039.59. Administrative costs, $25,803.97. Supportive services, $2,727.19. And individual training accounts, $10,125 with 0 cents for a total of $296,695.75, which is 25% of their total contract. Performance during quarter three, we had 35 new enrollments, making year-to-date numbers 161 out of the 400 contracted goal. In quarter three, they had 15 carry forward participants who were on their active caseload out of the 126 who were carried over from July. Of the 35 new enrollments, there were 74 barriers identified. One employment placement, median earnings was $10,136, six attainment of degrees or certificates, six literacy and numeracy gains, five retention with the same employer, 15 co-enrollments in WIOA services, and seven individuals were exited from the program. Year to date, 78 have been exited from the program. And also important to note is that 328 barriers have been identified year to date. Similar chart at the bottom to show how long it's taking to engage our participant into an activity. And again, this does not include the initial assessment or the IEP, which should be is part of their enrollment process. Within 1 week in quarter three, 16 individuals participated in the first class. Between 2 and 4 weeks, it was 6. Between 1 and 2 months, it was 1 participant. More than 2 months, 2, and not engaged in a service, we have 13 for a total of 38 participants for quarter three. And year to date, not yet engaged in a service would be 31. And it took more than 2 months for 7 participants to participate in the first class, 23 between 1 and 2 months, 37 participants between 2 and 4 weeks, and 49 participants were able to participate in their first activity within 1 week of program enrollment. Also, you'll find here that we have 8 participants enrolled in ITAs for quarter three and 2 in on-the-job training. Can you scroll to Adriana to Dislocated Worker North? That way I can just go over them and then we can answer questions at the end. For Dislocated Worker Career Services North, MCS was to allot $1.3 million of the $5 million that they were awarded. In quarter three, direct program cost $146,062. Administrative costs were $14,606. Supportive services, $2,094. Individual training accounts, $32,027. On-the-job training, $1,145, for a total of $195,935. That was for quarter three. Year-to-date expenditures, direct program costs, $477.93. $47,709 for administrative costs. Supportive services was $4,362. Individual training accounts, $32,027. On-the-job training, $1,145. For a total of $562,333 expended year to date, which is 43% of the $1.3 million. In performance, for quarter three, we had 52 new enrollments for a year-to-date amount of 276 out of the 600 contracted goal. 126 of those current currently active in WIOA services were carried forward from last program year. Of the 52, 97 barriers were identified. We have 26 employment placements with a median earning of $9,987. Attainment of degrees was 11, 14 literacy and numeracy gain, 11 retention with the same employer, 164 co-enrollments, and 68 program exits. Year to date, we've had 271 program exits. And of the 276 individuals that have participated in the WIOA Dislocated Worker Program, 488 barriers have been identified. And 115 employment placements have been made. For our second chart here, you will see that in quarter three, 24 participants, it took 24 participants about 1 week to participate in their first activity. 14 participants, it took them about between 2 and 4 weeks, 4 between 1 and 2 months, 0 more than 2 months, and 8 are not yet engaged in service. Year to date, it is 75 within 1 week, 100 between 2 and 4 weeks, 58 between 1 and 2 months, and 23 more than 2 months. I'm sorry, 17 more than, not, and then 17 not yet engaged in a service. We have in quarter three, 16 participants participating in an ITA and 1 in an OJT. And lastly, we have performance report for Dislocated Worker South. 1.3 million was allotted for this program out of the 5 million. Quarter three expenses were as follows: 111,807 direct program costs, 11,180 administrative costs, 3,611 for supportive services, and 16,975 for individual training accounts, for a total of 143,575,000 with 29 cents. Year-to-date expenditures: 279,450 administrative costs, 27,945 supportive services, 6,321, and the individual training count, 16,975, for a total year-to-date expense amount of 330,691, which is 25% of the contract amount, or of the 1.3 million. Performance for quarter three: there were 41 new enrollments for a year-to-date of 246 individuals out of the 600 contracted goal. 46 carry forwards out of the, there were 71 barriers identified within the 41 participants who enrolled in quarter three. Two employment placements, median earnings $12,105.98. 12 attainment of degrees or certificates, 14 literacy numeracy gains, 22 retention with the same employer, 131 co-enrollments, and 11 program exits. Year to date, we've had 123 program exits and 28 employment placements. In addition, out of the 246 enrollments into the program, 324 barriers have been identified within those individuals. And so last but not least, in quarter three for Dislocated Worker South, it took within 1 week, 21 participants were able to participate in their first class or workshop. Between 2 and 4 weeks, 11 participants were able to participate in their first activity. Between 1 and 2 months, it was one participant. And then we have 8 who are not yet engaged in a service. Year to date is 59 within 1 week, 72 between 2 and 4 weeks, 48 between 1 and 2 months, 20 more than 2 months, and 25 are not yet engaged in the service. We have 13 participants who are currently participating or enrolled in a training program or an ITA, and one who is participating in an on-the-job training. Any questions? I believe that's it for, we owe a Title I Career Services for adult and dislocated workers. It's a lot.
So I just want to share with the committee that we will be reviewing the new contract, and hopefully this performance will give you some context as to why we made changes to the new contract. So I will be reviewing that next, but hopefully this will give you a better understanding of some of the decisions we made moving forward. As you can see, there's quite a bit of money unutilized this calendar year, where we have quite a bit coming back. So almost $1 million, probably over $1 million being returned back to us because the service provider was not able to spend it. We have the service provider online. You can talk to them about that. When it comes to performance, they, of course, have had some challenges and they can speak on that as well. But I definitely want to have this committee really review this information, take a deep look into it, and hopefully have an understanding, because I am going to be working on a new procurement for WIOA Title I Career Services next year. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I want you kind of consider what's happening and then kind of help us strategize moving forward. What would you like to see?
One of the things that, I mean, I just have to add, based on the economy and what's occurred during this past year, there's more than enough challenges, not only for performance of service providers, but for everybody in our system. So I would imagine that some of these things are kind of anomalies that go with that period of time. So I just think that that's something that should be considered, because I would imagine that service providers up and down the state and across the nation are all had the same struggles as we did. Our economy here in Orange County tends to move forward a lot quicker because of the number of employers. And I know that I've gotten a lot of feedback recently from different employers who are struggling to fill jobs, but a lot of those are still within the service industry, as opposed to some of the more high paying professional jobs that some of our folks are seeking. So there's something to be considered with all of that as well.
So Rob, I just want to share with you today, the Board of Supervisors Office has asked for performance information for workforce areas surrounding us. So I will be preparing that material and I will also provide you a copy of it. So what I mean by that is, what is Santa Ana, Anaheim, LA, San Diego, and Riverside? What are their numbers? Where are they with performance during this pandemic? And how far away are we from their numbers? So I will be providing, my team and I are creating a report as we speak, and we will be providing that to the Board of Supervisors, but also to the committee.
That'll be interesting. When do you think you'll have that?
We're working on it now. One of the challenges is kind of identifying how to create the metrics, like what is their population compared to ours? So we got to do a little bit of research, right, census, but I hope to have it within the next 30 days.
That's great. Question, Karma, you talked about a new procurement next year. Do you mean next budget year or calendar year?
Calendar year. So after July 1, I'll be my team and I will be working on a new procurement. But I have a calendar and I'll go over that with you guys a little bit later.
Okay, any other questions, comments? Okay, I think that completes item number one on the agenda. Maybe we should circle back to the action items now that we have a quorum.
Okay, perfect.
Let's see. Am I at the right spot here?
Take them to the non-elect member guideline. Oh, actually the grievance. No, I'm sorry. The program grievance and complaint policy. I apologize. So that's going to be page 4 of 117.
Okay.
So Barbie, do you may go ahead and take over?
Sorry, I was on mute. Please proceed.
All right. So I'd like to present to this committee for consideration a policy that I'd like for you to vote on vote to move to executive and then of course to full board. The intent of this policy is to outline our grievance procedure for our workforce programs. So if a customer that is enrolled with one of our programs or is visiting the one-stop center and they feel that their rights have been violated, what are our procedures to ensure that they can actually go through a complete grievance process? This policy really should coincide with our code of conduct policy. I think we met last quarter and talked about how we've had some challenges in the one-stop center where we may need to ban people from the center and establish zero tolerance policies. And so what we have to have as a follow-up is a grievance procedure. Someone feels that we've restricted their rights or access to our programs and they need due process. So I want to highlight that our county council has reviewed this policy in its entirety and provided us with feedback. This policy basically takes a customer through the process of how to basically grieve if they feel like their rights have been violated. I kind of want to just go to the flow chart because I think that's probably what's going to stick out the most is just basically what our process will be. I think it's page 12, I apologize. Okay, there we go. So day one of the grievance, that's the initial complaint. So they'll address the complaint with the service provider. So once the complaint has been addressed by the service provider and been submitted, we have by day 10, if it has not been resolved, that we have to conduct an informal hearing. And that informal hearing will be with the service provider in the Orange County Workforce Development Board. By 2 days later, by day 12, we have to inform the Orange County Workforce Development Board for need for a formal hearing.
And that will involve and notify the service provider that a formal hearing will occur. Between days 12 and 20, we'll schedule a formal hearing where an actual hearing officer will basically hear the complaint by 30. So I'm just going to take you through it. By 30, we'll conduct a formal hearing with the hearing officer. From 30 to 35, there will be a decision, and it will be submitted to the Orange County Workforce Development Board by the hearing officer. And then by day 60, a written decision must be received by the complainant, and the Orange County Workforce Development Board will be notified as well of that process. So at that point, that if there is still an open grievance, if the customer does not like the outcome, then it of course rolls up to the state. I don't know if you've had a chance to read this policy in advance of this meeting, so I don't know if you need me to go step by step, or if you just have questions or concerns about anything in it. So I open it up to this committee to inform me what would they like to review, or if they've actually read it all in advance of this meeting.
What wasn't clear, so the appeal process is essentially, it goes to the state.
Correct, so if they're not happy with the local decision and the local process, they can appeal it up to the state, and then the next step after that is to DOL.
And who is the hearing officer?
So the county is identified for our hearing officer. We will first work with the San Diego Workforce Board to serve as our hearing officers. So the interesting thing is, in DOL's policy, our workforce board members cannot be the hearing officer. It has to be an impartial or outside party. So we've contacted the Riverside and the San Diego Workforce Boards and asked them to serve as our hearing officers, and they did agree. But if there is, for whatever reason, that they're not able to do that, we've also identified a different agency that does not touch ours within the county to do that as well.
That's very good.
Are there any other questions or concerns about the grievance procedure? Now, I want to highlight the grievance procedure is there's an EEO procedure and a grievance procedure. So they're separate. And so I just want to be clear that there are two different processes. Okay. And so if there are no questions, then I ask this committee to consider if they would like to consider taking a vote on this item.
So I'm presuming we don't have a process in place now. This isn't replacing something, this is a new process.
So there was a process in 2018, but it does not comply with the state standards. So we needed to update it to make sure that it complies.
And then just for clarification, our vote would be a recommendation to the larger working board?
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay, I'll move to approve.
Should somebody call a motion? I'm sorry.
Okay. Call for a motion to move this to the full board for review and consideration. Do we have a motion? I think Rob is saying it, but he's muted.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, should we go ahead and go for a vote now? I'll do the roll call.
Okay, all in favor of moving?
I'll go ahead and roll call each person individually for record. Natalie Alvarez?
Aye.
Rob Claudio? Aye. And let's see, Barbara Mason?
Aye.
And Brenial Tumor Bias?
Aye.
Okay. There's our four yes votes. Motion passes.
Thank you. So the next item up is the Orange County Workforce Development Board non-elect member guideline. So as you may recall, during our last meeting, we reviewed the charter for the committees. And then in the charters, we identified having non-voting members as members to our committee. And so each committee asked that we draft kind of like a guideline of what that member's role would be and how we pick them and so forth. So this item that I'm presenting to you today is as a follow-up to that. Now, I want to highlight that I have reviewed this with the Youth Committee and the Business Service Committee. They have made some red line edits to the guideline that they took, of course, they made some changes, but then took vote on the action. So what I'd like to do today is go over with it as is and then highlight to you where they made changes and then go through the process if you decide to take a motion on this item. When it is submitted to the executive committee, it's going to be submitted with all changes. So the business solutions changes, the youth committee changes, and then your committee changes if there are any outside of what they've recommended. Okay. All right. So with that said, we'll go ahead and start from the beginning. I do want to highlight that I did bring this in front of county council. He did make some suggestions. Both the youth and the Business Solutions Committee did not necessarily agree with his recommendations. So for example, he thought that we should call them consultants, and none of the committees agreed to changing the title to consultant. But what they did both agree to is change the title to non-elected member instead of elect member. So that you'll find when we take it to the executive and full board that it will say elected member. The next change is in the first paragraph, it says the Orange County Workforce Development Board Committee shall assist the Orange County Workforce Development Board and Orange County Board of Supervisors in fulfilling its oversight responsibilities related to the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act. And we've added and other funding sources because this committee not only reviews WIOA funding, but we intend to go after other funding that is non-WIOA. And so what we'd like for this committee to do is vote on items and discuss items that are not funded by WIOA. So the other recommended change is to add that to the end of this paragraph. Okay. I'm going to move on to the next section. So the membership section. So under this section, I'll go ahead and read and I'll tell you where they requested to make change. So the Orange County Workforce Development Board's members make up the standing committee membership. However, attendance by members from the committee and other experts in the field may benefit the committee. As such, non-elected individuals may be invited to participate and serve on the Orange County Workforce Development Board Standing Committee. Non-elected members shall reflect the needs of the local area and must be appointed based on their experience and expertise. The selection of non-elected members shall be in alignment with the committee charter. Non-elected members must be a resident of and registered to vote in Orange County, in the County of Orange. Non-elected members shall not have voting privileges and are not factored into quorum. The term of each non-elected member shall be no more than 3 years and at the will of the committee chair. Each standing committee shall have no more than 3 non-elected members. The youth committee shall appoint a youth 14 to 24 years old at the time of appointment as a non-elected member. So let me go through the edits that were made in this section. So one of the first edits that was made in this section was in the second sentence. Let's see, reflect the needs of local community. Hold on. I apologize. With your appointment based on expertise, the selection of non-members in line with the committee charters, non-elected members must be a resident. Okay, so it's in the section that talks about must be a resident of and or registered to vote in. So the problem is that youth, because we're going at 14, we have to add something to this to say with the exception of youth, because they're not gonna be able to register to vote. So that's one area that we have to make a change.
Under the responsibility section,
I haven't gotten there yet. I'll get to that one. I'm breaking it down so I can show you where they made the changes, but I'll go over that next.
Because I just see a typo.
Oh, I know. They've called some of that out too. So I just want to point out the registered voter line. Yeah.
in that paragraph. Are there any other the registered voter line in that paragraph? Are there any? And then they decided that the youth committee decided that where we talk about three members, that the three members also include one youth. So it's two non-youth and then one youth in there in this. But there's no change necessary. I just want to highlight that that's what they intend to do for their committee. Are there any questions before I move into responsibilities?
I have two more points of clarification. As I understand it, please correct me if I'm wrong, Karma, isn't the requirement to serve on the board either to live or work? And if that's the case, should that same requirement be passed to members of the standing committee?
I think that has actually since changed. From what I understand, okay. I think there's an exception in the policy that allows you to work, but then I think more recently, the Board of Supervisors have taken a position that they want people who actually live in Orange County.
Okay, fantastic. I just was asking for the purposes of making sure that it aligned across the board. And then the other question I have is more so around the idea of what it means to say shall reflect the needs of the local area. Are we talking about specifically representatives for, you know, the underserved segments of the population we're hoping to service? Or are we looking for experts who, you know, who can help within those areas?
I think it's committee specific, and we left it broad enough so you can kind of decide for your committee, what does that mean?
Okay.
Because the youth committee is going to have a way different set of needs than the adult dislocated worker committee and the business committee. So we wanted to keep it generic enough that it can fit what you define as your need.
Okay.
If there are no other questions about that section, I'm moving to the next one. So the next section, responsibilities. In accordance with WIOA, local workforce development boards are encouraged to establish standing committees to provide information and assist with planning, operations, oversight, and other issues relating to the provisions of service. As the Orange County Workforce Development Board committee members, non-elected members are expected to contribute to the discussion and provide feedback and insight to the conversation. Non-elected members are expected to attend corresponding standing committees and full board meetings and abide by the rules governing the Orange County Workforce Development Board and its members as described in Orange County Workforce Development Board bylaws. Non-elected members shall be cognizant of their obligations to fulfill their responsibilities of the committee and to display high moral conduct with an attitude of open-mindedness and inclusion. Non-elected members shall not use the position in any manner that reflects negatively on the Orange County Workforce Development Board or the County of Orange. Okay, so in this section, we change where it says non-elected members are expected to contribute to required. And then, Rob, you had a typo that you highlighted.
That same sentence, it says conservation instead of conversation.
It does. Okay. All right. Any other changes or anything to add to this section? Okay.
That's good.
The next section is attendance. So non-elected members will be subject to the same attendance requirements as the Orange County Workforce Development Board members per the Orange County Workforce Development Board bylaws. A non-elected member who fails to attend three consecutive meetings in a program year, July through June, will automatically be removed from the committee. Any questions or concerns about that section? And then the last section, Orange County Workforce Development Board members and staff shall refer individuals for consideration to serve as non-elected members. For each individual is to submit a resume and complete an Orange County Workforce Development Board application to the Orange County Workforce Development Board Executive Director. The following steps describe the review and approval process. A meeting may be requested during any of these steps. So step one is the review by the Orange County Workforce Development Board Director, me. So then once I review and interview that person, very similar to what I've done in the recent process, take them to the one-stop, review them and make sure it makes sense for them to be submitted to our committees. Then I will take them up to the committee chair and the committee chair will decide if they want to meet with them and review the application. And then it will be then the chair or this committee will
basically submit a request up to the full board for review and approval. So I want to highlight one of the ads. So one of the committees, I believe that it might have been the Business Service Committee, asked that we have them do a conflict of interest form. So with the application, we're also going to have them highlight any conflict of interest, meaning if they have any relationships or have any connection with any of our service providers, that they highlight that information in their application.
Perfect. I was just going to ask you about that.
And also to that point, I would assume that they would be held to the same ethics training and standards as we have, right?
They are not, because they're not actual board members and they don't actually vote. So the county is not going to take them through the regular county process. So these are people that basically are at your will, because the chair can ask them to leave. And so they don't have they don't have voting rights, and they don't participate in quorum.
How many people do you envision in this role per committee?
Three. Now, if you guys wanted increase it, we can. So the other committees thought through the three and kind of decided to stick at three, because they didn't want to have more of the non-elected members than the actual.
Oh, I agree. Because aren't we bringing them in for their perspective and special subject matter expertise and that type of thing?
Exactly right.
So in a way, some of them may be needed at certain times, but not all the time. So a little bit of that, if you miss three meetings, you're out. Maybe we need a little more agility there, because you may need certain of these experts at certain times, but not all the time.
Well, I think we can always ask somebody to come in and speak at our committees, right? So,
true.
So I don't know. The intent of this is to have people. So for example, let's say you wanted, as this committee wanted to have, I don't know, Bank of America sit on this committee, right? Talk about some community-based program that they offer and kind of give us insight about how we work with them. Maybe that's a bad example, but you'd have that individual who sits on this committee that can give you some feedback on their experience about the people they're hiring through our one-stop system, but they're not going to actually vote on anything.
That's okay, clear.
Other than the changes that I highlighted, are there any other changes that, and then the typo, are there any other changes or anything that you'd like to see different on this?
I think it's good. It feels like a solid best practice, and, you know, to which we decide the cadence and the onboarding of who and when. I feel like this will be a good guide.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, so the intent is after the full board votes on this, if they do approve it, then we can start the process of vetting people to serve on this committee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The only other thing I would include, maybe, Karma, is, I don't know, maybe like a guide card or fact sheet, so that once you do get these folks on board and then new ones come on board, you don't have to go through although you do, you know, provide some type of orientation. But it basically kind of reminds them of this. This is what your role is, you know, in participating.
That's a good idea.
That's good.
Okay. All right. Well, so with that said, I'd like to see if there is a motion to move forward with this.
I'm Mason.
Do we have a second?
In second.
Okay.
I don't know if I moved or a second, but either way.
All right, we'll go ahead and move on with the voting. Natalie Alvarez.
Aye.
Rob Claudio. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Rob. Are you?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes, okay, thank you. Barbara Mason?
Aye.
And Renrail Toomer-Bias?
Aye.
Okay, with four votes, motion passes.
Great, thank you. Appreciate it. So now we can go back. I think we would be at item number 8 on the agenda.
Okay.
So Sorry, you got to scroll back and forth here.
Yeah, I'm going. Let's see. America Works. Did we go through America Works already?
I'm going to try to do this as quickly as possible because I do know that Barbara needs to leave. So this is the new contract that we are submitting to the Orange County Board of Supervisors for approval. This will be submitted on the May 27th board meeting. I want to bring this to the attention of this committee because this committee did, we did take action. We did vote on how funding will be spent moving forward. We talked about potentially reducing or changing the contracts within reason for the next year. And so with that said, I want to highlight what I did. So let's go down to the performance section for the, to save time. And then we'll go to the funding section. So Adriana, that starts on page, I apologize, I should have had the page up. Faster.
I think it's page 61.
Yeah, I haven't gotten it far yet. Well, then what we'll do is before we get to 61, let's just go in order. So can you go to page 55?
55.
Yeah, let's start at 55. Okay, so as you know, in the last quarterly reports, we talked about how we awarded America Works $1.5 million. Well, given that we have money being returned, we still don't have the South County location established. This new contract we're going to enter into in July 1st is for $1.1 million. The intent of doing this is to try to spearhead potentially having money come back to us at the end of the contract term. Now, what this contract does say that if there is need that we can increase this contract to more money, but we didn't want to go into this contract knowing that it's highly likely that they won't be able to spend $1.5 million again. So we're entering into the contract with the expectation of providing America Works $1.1 million to start. Okay. All right. And then for the performance section, we are making a performance payment available to them at the rate of $110,000. So if they're able to successfully perform, we will provide them $110,000, up to $110,000 in performance payment. Okay. So for the, scroll down a little bit.
I'm sorry, what page do I need to be on?
You're 61.
Okay.
So the next part of this contract is that pay for performance metrics. So it's very similar to what they currently have. The intent of this is to help us with our system. So as you know, America Works contract is the mall operator. So the concept behind the mall operator is to help us get system partners to co-locate and pay to be in the system, as well as provide trainings, and then basically just support the people that are coming through the one-stop center. So with that, there's the measurable skills gain performance level. So because they're providing training, we wanna see if there's actually a skill gain with the clients that are utilizing our trainers. The next is the participant satisfaction rate. We wanna make sure that America Works is, please don't-
Oh, I'm sorry.
We want to make sure that America Works is providing an environment that our participants are satisfied with. The next is business satisfaction rate. So as you know, in the one-stop system, businesses do utilize our centers and our facilities. So making sure that we're creating a facility or facilities that businesses are satisfied with the service and the experience that they received when entering to our system. The next is one-stop partner satisfaction. So we want to make sure that our operator is creating an environment where our partners are pleased and that things are progressing for our partners. And so we are basically providing a performance metric based on that. Then the one-stop mandatory partners co-locating. Because the intent is that we have all 15 one-stop partners, mandatory partners in our facilities, the intent is to provide them a performance metric on their ability to successfully get partners to co-locate. The more partners that we co-locate in the center, the less we owe of funding is spent on the building. And so if we're able to reduce that, we're able to provide more services to clients versus spending a lot of the money on our overhead for our facilities. And then, can we scroll down a little bit more? And then the last is the one-stop partners. That's a typo. There's a, that's a typo, and we'll have to correct that. Because it's, yeah. Can you go down a little bit more? Okay. That's a typo, and that shouldn't be there. I apologize. I'm going to have to fix this before it goes in front of the Board of Supervisors. So one of them should be like system, the partner satisfaction, excuse me, go up. Mandatory partner satisfaction is what that one should be above. So one should be co-located partners paying, and then one should be system partners satisfied. Because there are going to be system partners that aren't going to co-locate in our facility, but we still want to make sure that they're happy with the direction that everything's going, that we're making referrals, and that the system is set up appropriately. So this is the typo in this section, and I will fix this before it goes to the supervisor. And so I want to highlight the performance metrics so that you can understand what we plan on doing with the service provider moving forward. Are there any questions or concerns about the reduction in the contract and the performance metrics established for AmericaWorks? Okay, if not, then I'm going to move over to the next contract, which is MCS's contract. Adriana, can we do the same thing? I think maybe if we start at page 55, we'll probably be faster.
For compensation, for MCS, starts at page 93.
Perfect. Okay, so again, with the MCS contract, as you saw, there's quite a bit of funds being returned that we anticipate being returned back to the county. So last year we gave them $5 million in total. This year we're reducing it to $3,500,000 to be divided between the adult and dislocated worker programs. By doing this, we believe that we can get ahead of the over $1 million is being returned to us. If the service provider's service levels pick up and there's a need to provide them with more funding, we will add on more funding to their contract. But we don't want to start this contract with such a high number, given the fact that we weren't really sure where we're going with COVID-19 and their ability to serve participants on the level that we've contracted them to serve. So I'm going to move down. So we'll discuss compensation.
Performance, if you want to go to performance 100, page 100.
Okay, so starting on page 100, now I mentioned to you guys that I negotiate our performance every 2 years with the state. The last negotiation I had impacts this program performance year, and my program performance was not reduced, meaning that the state didn't feel that because we were in the middle of the pandemic that they were gonna lighten my number. So I had to pass on the performance level that the state gave to me. So of course DOL creates it, the state then negotiates it with me, and then I pass it on to our service providers. I always make the performance a little bit higher than what was negotiated so that we can at least meet the expectations established by the state. If that makes any sense, please ask me any questions. So with that said, in the new contract performance, we're telling MCS that of the participants that they're supposed to serve, no less than 400 new enrollments. So they can always serve more than 400, but we don't want to see less than 400 new people coming into the workforce system. And as of January 30th, 2021, when we started drafting this, they had about 141 participants that we identified that would probably be carried forward. All the participants served, no less than 90% of them needed to have some of our target populations. No less than 78.5% needs to have placement second quarter after exit. No less than 75.5% has to have placement fourth quarter after exit. The median earning needs to be no less than $6,600 for our participants. No less than 64% of our participants should have a credential earning rate. Can you scroll down a little bit, Adriana? Okay. No less than 80% should have an in-program skills gain. So I kind of want to highlight this. The thought that DOL has, and so does EDD, is that if we are going to take the time to enroll somebody in RIOA, they have to gain a skill. We can't enroll people into a program and they know nothing at all. The last performance metric is 60% retention with the same employer. And so this is the adult contract performance for North and South. Are there any questions or concerns about this performance that we're expecting next year? Now, keep in mind, this performance coincides with our WIOA performance, okay? Let's scroll down to the dislocated worker performance. So for both the north and south portions of their contract, we are asking MCS to enroll no less than 600 new enrollments. So of the new enrollments, we anticipate about 234 of them being carry forwards, because that's what we had as of January 30th, 2021. There is an 82% placement after second quarter exit. There's a 78% placement after fourth quarter after exit. The median earnings should be $8,855. The credential attainment rate should be 70.5. The in-program skills gain should be 80%. And then the retention with the same employer should be 60%. Okay, and I'll quantify that with actual numbers when we start doing our quarterly reviews of their performance. Okay, are there any questions or concerns about the new contract and the stated performance for the adult and dislocated worker program? Okay, so I did provide board members with a copy of the scope of work of the contract. So I want to make sure that if you have the chance, if you can take a look at it, and if you have questions, we can discuss it during our next meeting. I'm trying to kind of move through this, so I'm going to go ahead and open it up for the next item, Barbara.
Okay, I'll be dropping off, but I encourage you to continue.
Okay. All right. So who will lead now that Barbara has to drop off so we can get through all the rest of the materials? Do you want me to kind of take over to identify the next section? Okay. All right. So then the next section on our agenda is now number 9, one-stop survey. And with this, I'm going to ask for Anthony Rafik to give us an overview of the one-stop virtual job fair surveys and the one-stop system partner performance. So Anthony, can you put the your PowerPoint presentation for the system partner surveys up?
I've stopped my share. You should be able to share, Anthony.
Anthony, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes.
I can't see you.
Okay. Well, let's see. Start video. There we go.
There you are.
I'm unable to share my screen, Adriana.
Okay. Let me. Let's see. Try now.
Nope, still unable to share.
Not sure why, because at this point you are a panelist with co-host permissions. Let me promote you again and see if that works. You're at the highest level now. I'm not sure what more to do.
Got it. I'm sharing the correct screen. All right, good afternoon, everyone. From our last meeting, we had presented a survey that would be distributed to all our system partners. And the key recommendations from that, from our meeting was that we keep the survey under a minute, and two, that we focus on areas of collaboration, integration of services, and training. So we distributed the survey to our system partners 68 surveys were distributed, and we had two responses, which is just about a 3% response rate. These partners included EDD, Department DOR, some of the colleges, et cetera. So our questions, there's a split, the two responses that we received were split, strongly disagree and disagree. And these were the questions. The one-stop partner shares knowledge and information regularly among partners to provide seamlessly integrated services. We had a strongly agree and a disagree. We asked about collaboration and through regular monthly meetings. Again, a strongly agree and a disagree. Does the partner provide training and guidance opportunities accessible to all partners? We have both responses agreed that they do. We asked about their overall satisfaction. As Carmen was just talking, the one-stop operator has a goal of 90%. Right now, the satisfaction based on these surveys for the quarter is just 50%. We asked the partners to tell us what are some, how was their experience? And this is what we got. It says, we have always tried to be a collaborative partner with the one-stop. However, since the operating entity has shifted into a new owner, the communication has been lacking. No follow-ups or monthly meetings have happened. It's disappointing. On the other side of the spectrum, it was a they had a positive experience. What can we improve on? They're asking that they have regular communication and updates, better email, phone follow-up from executive leaders, and reinstating the monthly partner meetings. I think this, putting aside what the results were, these are some key issues that I think this committee needs to address, and I open the floor for commenting on how we can take this forward. Thank you. Karma, I hand it over back to you.
So what we've started to do is our staff has participated in the last one-stop partner meeting so that we can ensure that we understand what's happening, so that we can redirect our one-stop operator to ensure that they're asking the appropriate questions and engaging with partners in the way which we are supposed to. So looking for improvement, not for their staff, but more so for the system, and then follow up with referrals. So one of the things that I think that we are challenged with is that when there are partners making referrals and sharing information in the system, kind of following up with that. So with that said, we believe that by attending these meetings, get an understanding of what's happening, and then going back and using these opportunities to provide feedback to the operator, I think we can get ahead of some of this. So that's what we try to implement after receiving these survey results. We try to engage with them. We've had our first partner meeting last month where we participated on the call just to get a feel for what's happening. And so from that call, we will go back to the operator and redirect them some tools and techniques that maybe they should do to have a better engagement with partners.
So my input on that, Karma, because it takes a while, especially for folks that are kind of new to managing in our world, I find that sometimes it's really helpful for them to get a better understanding of what the mandatory partners, each one of them does, so that they can then start learning about what would be an appropriate or more inclusive presentation for the partners that participate in these meetings. Because I find, and I went through this when we wrote our first regional plan, even the people that we've been friends with, our partner stakeholders, they were unaware of some of our own services that we provided after all these years of us being on boards and what have you. So I think it might be helpful for them to kind of have like these ongoing orientations directly from some of the partners. And then that kind of will hopefully fill in some of the gaps as well. And then it'll help them on how to better plan moving forward.
That's a good suggestion. I'll talk to the operator about that. Are there any other questions or concerns? Okay. Anthony, if you could move to the next presentation. Okay. Participant survey.
All right. I'm now present on the one-stop participant surveys. So I'm presenting for the period January 1 to March 31. So for that period, we had 12,975 services being utilized at the one-stop center. And these services were accessible via phone, virtually, or in person. We found that 32% of the services were at the resource room, 23% were at for partner programs, 19% for career services. Now I wanted to go a little bit deeper, and as my colleague Zitlalik was talking about earlier, individualized services, there were a lot of barriers that people had. So I wanted to talk about, these were some of the reported barriers in WIO. We had 190 barriers utilized the SNAP program, 678 were low income, 138 were basic literacy skills deficient, and 140 were about English language learners and 64 disabled. All right. Approximately 400 WIO individuals utilized multiple services. And I just wanted to go through some of the buckets. And they are, we had 270 utilized, were there for the development of IEPs. 618 were there for individualized counseling. We had 264 persons there for job referrals and about 127 for resume preparation and assistance. So what we did is for that period under review, we distributed 1,610 surveys to our clients who utilized basic career services at the one-stop center. And we received 121 responses, which is just about the 8% response rate. Now, customers who have been using our services between January and March, they felt that they expressed an 88.6 satisfaction rate. And our year to date, we distributed 3,915 surveys and about an 8% response rate as well. And the overall satisfaction is 87.4. The goal for the America Works contract is to have a customer satisfaction of 90. So we have a little bit of work to do to meet that target. We asked customers how likely they are to refer a friend or business colleague. They had an 89% satisfaction rate. We asked customers how did they feel. Did they feel welcome? Was the center easy to use? We can say that's about an overall satisfaction rate or an average of 86.5% satisfaction. We asked customers about the quality of service. And 60% of the customers felt that they received quality services. And 33% is not applicable, but I would categorize that as a no. So then we have some work to do in terms of quality services. One of the questions in the last meeting that we talked about is our training and workshops. We sent out surveys to all our participants who conducted training. Overall, there's a 90.5% satisfaction in terms of the quality of our workshops and the quality of the teaching of these workshops. We asked our customers to talk about, was the training relevant to my needs, at 80% satisfaction? Were they comfortable in handling the task assigned, 84% satisfaction? Again, it's just participation and interaction was encouraged. Participants felt that the mix and presentations were suitable, and the training and content met their expectations. Across the board, it's just about the 90% satisfaction across the board for training. We also asked participants to talk about what are some of the key things that they felt that needed to be improved at the One Stop Center. We have been, as the Community Investment Division, what we have been doing is monitoring this service on a weekly basis. We send them out on a weekly basis and we monitor the responses. One of the things that they have raised is case management. Different things about maybe the case manager needs to reach out to them, the quality and so on. So what we have done is on the 20th of April, we had a training with all the case managers at the One Stop Center. So we facilitated training to improve their skills. And then we have been following up with the One Stop Center to talk about their services and how we can improve on them, reaching out to the customers directly and, you know, direct engagement with them. So, and those are the things we have been doing to improve our service. I know, thank you. I open the floor for commenting.
Are there any questions or concerns about the participant survey results and ways that we can improve or anything you'd like to see moving forward?
Okay. They're quite satisfied with the workshops, and those are kind of part of our bread and butter, I would say. So that's good.
Okay. All right. So we're going to move into number 10. We'll go ahead and have Zitlalik to give us an update on A and B.
Real quick, Anthony, could you restore my host status if you can? Were you going to share your screen, Zitlali, or do you want me to put the agenda back up?
You can just put the agenda back up. I'm going to make it easy on all of us.
Okay.
So I'll go ahead and give a brief update on the needs-related supportive services. Back when, if you guys can all remember, when COVID all started, it seems like such a long time ago, but yet again, it seems like it was just yesterday. The Orange County Workforce Development local area received a $900,000 grant to provide WIOA participants up to $800 per person for basic needs, such as childcare, housing, utility assistance, transportation costs, or equipment needed for teleworking through the county one-stop system. In quarter three, 108 people received a total of $62,400 in cash assistance. And year to date, 777 people have received a total of $424,400 in cash assistance. This grant is set to expire at the end of this program year, which would be June 30th, 2021. For 2110C, this is a paid work experience program that offers up to 12 weeks of paid work experience for youth, adults, and dislocated workers. And basically what they do is they answer calls, assess client needs, and provide referrals to community resources. In quarter two, there were 12 participants who enrolled. Eight of them were adult or dislocated workers. Year to date, there have been 39 enrolled participants. 28 of them have been adult or dislocated workers. And out of the 28, two of the participants have been offered unsubsidized employment through this program. Any questions on either the needs-related supportive services or 2110C?
Okay. Thank you, Zitlalik. So, Adriana, yes. If you could promote Eric up. So, for this committee,
Excuse me, Anthony. I need to have my host status restored. Could you do that?
Yes. Let me see how to do it.
And I'm not sure what page on the agenda I should be at this point. If anybody could lead me there,
Adriana, if you could just take it to the top page with the agenda. Just leave it there. Okay. Section that we need to discuss.
Okay.
All right. And so do you now have host rights?